Sunday, August 30th, 2020, and with this year I begin my 62nd year of teaching Torah. So let me be mitpalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam, quoting the Gemara here at Samul Fenecha, Adonai Elohai v'Elohei Avotai, Shelo Yerat Tvat Hakala Al Yadi, V'lo Et Kashel B'Dva Halacha Chas V'Shalom V'Yismuchu V'Chaberai, Shelo Omar Al Hatamei Tahar V'lo Al Hatahar Tamei V'lo Al Amutah Asur V'lo Al Asur Mutah V'lo Yikashlu Chaberai B'Dva Halacha V'Yismach Behem Ki Adonai Yiten Chachma Mipiv Dat Utvuna Gal Einai V'Abita Nifla'ot Mitoratecha. V'tein li lahosif Ribbono Shel Olam Tavarech Otonu B'Briyut Tova ונתפסה בשורה טובות שהנגיף נגמר ויצאנו מפשוט עבדות לחירות בקרוב ממש. I want to mention in relation to shirim we've given over the years, so you know I've always spoken about Rav Avadya Yosef, that he's a tremendous mekil when it comes to mamzerut. And he was critiqued in the latest issue of Our Torah, which is a publication for Rabbi Mazuz's yeshiva. It's one of the most elegant Eidot HaMizrach yeshiva today in Bnei Brak. So in the latest issue, there's a tremendous defense of Rabbi Avadya Yosef. And today lahatir mamzerim al smach bitul kedushin. Yeah, and ain't tzarech lahagil halacha muchletet umuskemet eladai besafek afilu kolush umitziat dat yachid she'ein halacha brura kenegdal. And very powerful defense of Rav Avadya. It all goes back, I can't repeat now she'urim, it all goes back to the Shach in Yeridea, the Kuntres HaPsak. But for something like Mamzeret, we do everything in our power, even a svara kalusha lahatir. Allah had kama v'kama, if we have something more substantial, even if not everyone agrees, but halacha lemaisa, you can be matir. So I was very happy to see a tremendous defense of Rav Avadya against his those that criticize him in the latest Or Torah. I'd like to dedicate this year in memory of so many people died since we last met, but an Adam Shebegadolim, who I would say single-handedly, I don't know of any other person on the level of learning who had such influence on millions and millions of Jews and the whole future of learning, and that of course is Rav Atten Steinsaltz. And here I want to tell you a fascinating story. There was a great Chabad Rav in Ukraine, suffered under the communist Russia, finally got out, came in Aliyat Eretz Yisrael. His name was Nachum Shmayahu Sasunkin. He wrote a whole memoir, which I read, hundreds of pages, and he lived in Katamon. There was another Chabad, the Rav of Katamon, who I yet knew when I came in Aliyah, Rav, who was davened in the shtibble occasionally. And one time in the original Katamon shtibble in Katamon, a kid wandered in jeans, long red hair. And all right, if he had wandered into a different shtibble, I don't know how they would have been makabel him. But Rav Nachum Shmayahu took a special interest in this kid. And this kid goes on to become Reb Adin Steinsaltz. And I want to show you a tie-in with this very class. Following World War II, where there were survivors, so there was a young man who survived the Holocaust, was not really interested in Yiddishkeit anymore. His name was Zalman Kleeman. His sisters, who were older, came back v'lev v'nefesh. and one of them married into Rav Nachum Shmayahu's family, and Rav Nachum Shmayahu, the great Rav, adopted this little boy, told them don't pressure him, give him time, and this kid went on to become a Chabadnik, an artist, well known. And many years ago, at the Kotel, when I still could walk back and forth, my feet carried me. Today already, it's not the same feet that I had 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. A young Chabadnik came over to me after davening, Harav Rakefet, and he introduced himself, met my Talmud, and he hears all my Shiurim, and remain very much in touch until today. His name, today Hasmicha, Harav Nachman Shmayahu Sazhak. He is a grandson of Rabbi Kleeman, the person that the great Rav Sasokin adopted, and he's named for the Rav, so that among my Talmidim I have a Nachum Shmayahu. And when you think of Rav Nachum Shmayahu, go back to that meeting in the Katamon Shtivel. Who would guess out of a kid with dungarees and long hair what this man did to revolutionize Talmudic study? I'll make one more comment, which hurts, but it's the reality of the world in which we live. Be aware that after Rav Steinsaltz died, outside of the Shas Daily, none of the Haredi papers said a word about Rav Steinsaltz. Tremendous outcry. A few days later, Hamudia, the Aguda paper, woke up. The two Litvish papers, Hapelis, I think it is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the other one is Rav Shach's paper, what's it called, do you recall? Rav Shach, Yateg Neman, until today, have not mentioned Rav Attenstein's oaths. And this is a sad comment on the Haredi world. They can't deal with someone who's a little bit different. It's either you have to walk my way or the highway, and that is so distant from Torah, in my humble opinion. Open up any Gemara, and right away, three different opinions. Any daf of the Gemara, three different opinions, four different opinions, and yet the love that we showed for each other, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, etc. And it's a sad commentary that here's a man who changed the world, actually changed the world, and not one word about him. And I want to tell you, those that think in terms of part of the Litvish Welt, Rav Shach, that there's apikorsis, I can tell you I've gone through every last word in all the volumes of Rav Attenstein's on Shas. I've gone through Shas a number of times, but the second time I went through, I went through all the Iyunim, all the realia, every last comment, and I did not find one syllable which is not within the context of Torah Tashem Tamima. All right, can you learn Gemara without realia, without knowing the Latin words, without knowing the Greek roots, but that's a chisarin in your knowledge. Rav Adin's genius of geniuses, and Yehezit Ro Baruch, what a contribution. Everything that comes afterwards, Schottenstein and other Perushim here, but it all goes back to one man. And until today, I personally find when I have a difficult Gemara, I open up Steinsaltz. He is so clear, beautiful Matan Hebrew. Tzrichim lahodot laKadosh Baruch Hu that he planted this kid with long hair and that he walked in to the right shtivel and the rabbanim there knew how to karev. Okay, now a few words about the class. Again, hard for me to know if I have any new students. Let me just explain. the Kollel began a formal program in 1978. The history is very simple. In 76, I write about it in Washington, I was privileged to be the Makkah B'Patish and get this campus for Yeshiva University. Ultimately, I would say I'm one of the greatest donors to YU in the history of the institution, put a price on this campus, the land, the ground. There's still, without any variation, you can still build two more major structures on campus. Oh, we're talking $100 million here, etc. But YU at that time was not in a position to start a formal program. Rabbi Belkin was very sick. The yeshiva was near bankruptcy. So what they began with, they simply sent a handful. There were five students. Not all of them are alive anymore. That was the first Kollel class. And they attended the second. Mark Wiener is one of those five, correct? Rabbi Doctor, what's your rank? Lieutenant Colonel, etc. What does that mean for, I don't know, the Colonel, four-star general, whatever. So Mzayn Gesund. Rabbi Wiener was one of them. And they attended the second-year classes in BMT if they wished. Mine was one of them. There was Nachama Leibovich. In 78, every year Mr. Gris would come, and wherever I was teaching, they'd send a car for me with a chauffeur, and I'd have to meet Mr. Gris, have lunch with him, and then we would walk through the building, and an Unterführer, I don't know my English anymore, an Unterführer helped me out. Nu Yomo, an Unterführer. He doesn't know either. All right, let it be.
A deputy.
Okay. A Ukrainian English translates it deputy. So he would walk behind us, and Mr. Gris would tell him, fix this, fix this. Suddenly, Mr. Gris turns to me. Is there a real program here for the Kollel? I said, well, they take advantage of BMT. No, I want a real program. He went back to America. By now, Rabbi Lamb was president, Rosh Yeshiva, and he banged on the table, and you know, when Mr. Bruce bangs, it's not Rakefet banging, it's a man who controls a few billion dollars. So YU instituted a formal program. Part of the formal program, I started giving a class in response to literature in 1978. The class is ongoing, I've never repeated a lecture. And if anyone needs credit, what we call supplementary rabbinic credit for the program, please see to it that you're registered with Sherry, because right now I have no classroom. It's, as we all understand, we're still living under the pale of the nega, the maka, the negiv, whatever you want to call it, corona. Okay, now, I want to pick up exactly where I left off, and just again to give you a drop of background, all of you know that I got very involved with a Reuven. It's one of the topics that haunt me, why Jews kill each other over a Reuven. There isn't a community in the world without Machleket, and there's reason why there is Machleket, and nevertheless the big Lamdin Makil in modern times is Rav Menashe Klein. We cited him. He took on Rav Moshe. He held his ground. And when you have a Reuven today in Borough Park, in Flatbush, you have to realize it's because of Rav Menashe Klein. All right, I'm not going to repeat all the shurim, but once I met Rav Menashe Klein, I really fell in love with his 18 volumes of Shelet and Shuvat, Mishnah Halachat, and the man deals with the world. The whole modern world is revealed in his Shuvat. And what's amazing about him, although he himself comes from a Ungarish background and a Chatam Sofer background, but he's open. He deals with everyone, with Satmar, with Lubavitch, with Yeshiva University. And also, he doesn't censor. He answers every question. Now, we then picked up on Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch with questions that Rav Menashe Klein received. And we've worked many years on this already, and now we pick up, we're still in Orach Chaim, we're picking up exactly where we left off. Last time we spoke about bicycles to shul on Shabbos. There are many interesting, fascinating questions that came up and spoke about where Klal Yisrael is Matir, Klal Yisrael is Machmir, but I want to go further now, and I want to come back to a question that haunted us and haunts us, and I dealt with this in great detail maybe 30 years ago already, Yontif Sheni Shel Goliath. And you'll see the question he got, and I just want to introduce it very quickly. When we come to Yontif Sheni Shel Goliath, originally there was no machloket whatsoever. The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin, if wherever your feet are, that's what you observe. If your wherever your mind is, that is what you observe. If you live in Eretz Yisrael and you've gone to Chutz Laretz, it would seem clear from the Shulchan Aruch, you have to observe Eretz Yisrael, except in public, you must go along with the crowd. You can't do anything that will infringe upon the Kedushat Hayom. If you come from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, the Shulchan Aruch actually doesn't mention it, but he does mention it in his Tshuvot, which were published posthumously. And there it would seem he is true to form, that if you're from Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael, even though you're Ladmat HaKodesh, you must observe 2 days like you would observe in Chutz Laaretz. And that's the psak. In modern times, there has been a total rebellion against this psak, and the rebellion goes from one end of the spectrum to another. In other words, even the Minchat Laza, the Munkatcha, and Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, the Chazon Ish, Rav Ovadia Yosef, Mori Urebi, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, in the name of Rav Moshe, in the name of Rav Chaim, the Chacham Tzvi, etc., etc. Everyone holds it has to do with where your feet are, not where your mind is. And if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's 1 day. If you're in Chutz Laretz, it's 2 days. But forget about the recent development. Let's go back to the original concept, and you'll see that even if you take the original concept, it's where your mind is, where your citizenship is, where you pay your taxes, it is so amorphous, it can be so unclear that there can be endless questions. What do you do? So let me show you, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch, what we're referring to, Hilchot Yontov, Siman Tov Tzadi Vav, Sivkatan Gimel, B'nei Eretz Yisrael Shabal L'chutz Laretz, Asurim La'asolt Melacha B'yontov Sheni, B'yishov, Afilu Daito Lagza, V'chol Zman Shelo Higil Yishov, Afilu Ein Daito Lagza, Muta, she'adayin lo hukbar liyot kamotam, aval migil yushev v'yendol talaksa na'aseh kamotam va'asa vein b'midba vein b'yishev. And here's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, very clear. Could you tell him not to make noise? Thank you. Here's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. One second, they're trying. We're trying to tell them to quiet down on the outside. Here's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. A ben Eretz Yisrael who comes to Chutz Laretz. Kolzman, you don't come to a Jewish community. So this is interesting. According to this psak, and this is the Shulchan Aruch speaking, if you can travel around the world, go from Eretz Yisrael and wind up in Alaska, wind up in Hawaii, wind up where there's no Jewish community, you never have to observe Yontif Sheni. But if you leave Eretz Yisrael and you come to Hollywood, Florida, the minute you walk into Hollywood, Florida, you see Davis Gold is walking on the street, you see other Jews walking on the street, you are immediately part of that community. From that moment on, you have to observe 2 full days of Yantif. Notice, why did the Shulchan Aruch only paskin this way? Coming from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. What about the other way? A lot of people have asked this question. A lot of Dashanim have asked this question. We can only guess what the answer is. It would seem to me that the Shulchan Aruch is a reflection of life. And at the time he lived, people went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, not the opposite. Eretz Yisrael was deprived, underdeveloped. Parnassa was very hard here. You all know Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, Tosfot at the end of Ketuvot. It was dangerous here. The Jews were suffering. People were always running away from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. Take Eretz Yisrael post-World War I. Do you know how many Yerushalmiim left for the United States? You can give an endless list of the Mirsky family, the Shulson family, endless relatives of the Parish family. They just couldn't make a living here. So it could be at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, this was the norm. You went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, not vice versa. But the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch seems very clear. The minute you hit the community, you are part of it. And from that moment on, 2 days Yantif. The sideshow that I mentioned to you may also be very correct. It's not simple, but it's an amazing thought. Could you imagine you get on a plane in Tel Aviv and you fly to Hashkash, Wisconsin, Kalamazoo, no Jewish community. From there you take a plane to Hawaii, no Jewish community where you go. Hawaii to Alaska, you avoid Chabad, no Jewish community. You spent Pesach in Chutz Laretz, Sukkot in Chutz Laretz, and when you come back, people ask you, what did you do, Yantif Sheni? You say, I never had a Yantif Sheni. I never hit an organized Jewish community. And it could be, he's totally legitimate. This is the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, look into the Mishnah Berurah right here, and the Mishnah Berurah already adds, what does it mean a Jew is in Chutz Laretz and he has to observe, and what does it mean observe, and what if you're not going to remain? So the Shulchan Aruch introduces a concept, you'll see it all, you can look it all up, that there's a difference between what you do privately, what you do publicly. That in other words, if I'm just visiting Chutz Laretz and I'm not becoming a permanent resident, so according to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, if my mind is full that I'm returning to Eretz Yisrael, so really I don't have to observe Yantif Sheni. It's not that I become a total resident, a total Chutz Laretz person. I don't really have to observe Yantif Sheni. But if I'm part of a community and they see me, I can't do anything in public. I can't offend. Quietly, I can do whatever I want. So already the Mishnah Berurah talks about Erev Tavshilin. Imagine if Yantif falls Thursday, Friday. You're from Eretz Yisrael. You're going back to Eretz Yisrael. All right, second day Yantif, you can't do Malacha in public. Do you have to make an Erev? Are you with me? And Nerev is Davishabitsina. For you it's a regular weekday. Thursday was Yontif. Friday is not Yontif. Chutz Laretz it is Yontif. So the Mishnah Brewer right away says, it's interesting that this is the first point he makes. You don't have to make an Erev. An Erev is Dava Shebet Sina. And then he goes a drop further. You're in Chutz Laretz. You're going back to Israel. You don't have to observe in the public thoroughfare. What about davening? On that Friday, the Jews in Chutz Laretz are davening a Yontif Shmona Esrei. You have to daven a weekday Shmona Esrei. Tell me, which takes more? A Yontif Shmona Esrei of seven brachot or a weekday Shmona Esrei of 18 brachot? So the Mishnah Brura says right away, you can daven a weekday Shmona Esrei, because you're davening quietly. Nobody knows what you're davening. So you see, here too, if your minig is, and I've been knocked around at times, I make a little noise when I'm davening. One time, some professor sitting behind me said to me, it interferes how you're allowed to talk. Chana, we learned from Chana, you daven, your lips are moving, but no one hears you. And here you're making sounds. So I told him, first of all, the Rav, I can tell you when the Rav davened, occasionally you heard him make sounds. I also found a source that the Brisker Rav made noise when he davened. So all right, I'm not the worst sinner in the world. But if you're davening on a Friday in Chutz Laretz when it's Yontif, and you're davening Slach Lanu Avinu Tichatanu, you better whisper it. No one should hear. Because the minute you say it aloud, you are offending the local populace. And this is the exactly what the Mishnah Brura passes me. Tam zet shukim dan the pel tfilat yud chet belachash biyontev sheni. And then the same thing, if you're going back to Israel and you follow the Shulchan Aruch psak, it's where your mind is, not your feet. What about tefillin? Isru chag. Pesach is over, Sukkot is over, Chutz Laretz, they're observing one more day. Tefillin, a chi of the Oraita, not in shul, not in public, bitzina, stille hate, quietly, all right? And this is the Mishnah Brura, but listen carefully, and avot tzrichim lilbosh, Malbushe Yontav Mipnei Shehu Dava Shel Prachesia. Ah, what about Yontav Tik dress? How do we dress during the week? All right, those of you who live in the Haredi world don't have this problem. All week long you wear black pants and a white shirt. A Chabadnik has one, he really, on Yontif Shabbos, he wears Lange Begodim, he wears a Bekesha, like the Rebbe wore. So Chabadnik may have a bit of a problem. But if we're not Haredim, what a difference between our dress during the week. Look the way I'm dressed now, with this colorful shirt, and Shabbos Yontif, I wear a white shirt, I think I've told you, I remember with my grandchildren, one time they saw me with a white shirt during the week, and they said to me, Sabu, why are you wearing a white shirt? It's not yet Shabbat, not yet Yontif. I had to explain to them I was going to a wedding, a chatunah, so, or a sheva bracha, so I put on a white shirt. But you have to be careful. In your house on Yontif Sheni in Hillcrest, you can walk around like a slob. The minute you walk out of the house, you have to be Yontif Dik. And the Mishnah Brura goes on. And he raises another problem, which I'll give you sources on later today. It raises more problems. Tell me, how do you know where you are a citizen? All right. And this touches upon a very, very delicate problem that, lo aleinu, I have seen many times, even in divorce courts. No one realizes the price we have paid when we come in Aliyah. All right, everyone thinks your standard of living went down. I can tell you when we came in Aliyah 51 plus years ago, you have no concept what it was like shopping and what was available, and the bank and the lines and the pushing and the shoving. And I remember in 1969, I think they gave out an award for how many pregnant women you could knock over running to catch a bus. That was, all right, today, Baruch Hashem, Israel has changed. All I can tell you is I get onto a bus, I get onto a light rail, and now already it's very bad, because if game with Ashteken, I go with a cane. But even before the cane, I never saw anything like it. People jump up for me, ladies, men, chassidim, long beards, give me a seat. I look, how old am I, all right? How bad do I look? But what the cheretz, beyond comprehension. Something drops on the ground, younger people jump to pick it up for you. Ashrei ayin rad hazot. But there's a more serious problem. Your wife, the husband, you come in Aliyah. So let's go back 60, 51, 52 years. Ani Rothkopf, if you heard my shiur last week, you have no idea how many comments I've gotten from that shiur from around the world. But to leave it for another time. Ani Rothkopf comes in Aliyah. Has his life changed at all? Now just think, what did I do in America? I got up very early. I drove to the yeshiva before rush hour. I was Rav in Essex County. Drove to the yeshiva, davened, had a bite of breakfast, started learning, taught Torah, joked around with my students, threw around my baseball knowledge, the Yankees liegen jetzt in dread, and take a look where I have my whole theories on Judge and Stanton. Millions and billions of dollars paid to people to sit home and listen to Shiurim. I hope they're listening to me and not being mevatel their time, but they're certainly not playing baseball. But anyway, leave that out. Then I come in Aliyah. What I do when I come in Aliyah? I get up early, I went to the encyclopedia, I wrote, and BMT begins. I start teaching, I throw around Torah, I throw around Jewish history, and David Goldis will testify I throw around my baseball knowledge. Okay, my life didn't change, ki huzeh. Your wife, in America, she had money, she didn't have to pinch pennies, didn't have to account for every lira, she could buy ready-made food, frozen food. Her life changed many times older. Now, what do you mean you're an Israeli? You're an Israeli and you have a wife whom you married in Chutz Laretz and she refuses to come in Aliyah? She's happy. She knows the language. She knows the mentality. She has her friends. She has her local social group. Who are you? You're in Israel? She's in Chutz Laretz. Take the opposite. You went to Chul. Your wife refuses to leave Israel. You know how many women I know who have refused to leave Israel? Drove their husbands crazy? A lot of men have no Yiddishkeit. They do mitzvah anashim b'lumada. They don't have the spirituality that a woman has. And these women, I know one young lady married a Talmud of mine. And I've heard the story many times. She's a granddaughter of a Rav who I write about in the Silver Year. It's Rabbi Brava's granddaughter. Her parents came here on a sabbatical. She was a schoolgirl in Chorev, maybe a seventh grade girl. She refused to go home. She stood on the street and cried. Do you understand? Did this, all right. Later she came back, believe the nefesh, thank God, married a Talmud of mine who loves Eretz Yisrael. But you see, how do you judge the man? Your wife is there, you're here. She refuses. You refuse. You know how many marriages have broken up over Aliyah? I mean, Ribbono Shel Olam, where the wife doesn't acclimate. I know, I can, endless cases I can tell you about. But halacha lemaisa, how do you judge Yontif Sheni? Who are you? What makes you? Where do you become an Israeli? Where are you an American? And even taking the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, your mind, and tell me, how many people in America dream of going on Aliyah? Dream of going. Rabbi Przanski comes from Teaneck, New Jersey, a tremendous shul. I guarantee you, there must be hundreds of families in Teaneck who dream of going in Aliyah. So what? 1 year passes, 2 year passes, 3 year passes. They're still in Chutz Laretz. What is the dream? What is the dream worth? But then, children are in Israel. You visit 3 times a year. This is a very amorphous question. Even taking the Shulchan Aruch point of view, where your mind is, determines where your citizenship is, where you pay taxes. I'll give you sources, you'll see. But it's very fluid. How do you describe? How do you decide? Okay, now I want to come to, I just wanted to introduce the basic sources, but now I want to come to Rav Menashe Klein. And you can look up the Shulchan Aruch, you can look up the Mishnah Brura, you'll see that there's a world of material right there, without getting involved in the tremendous machlokes of modernity. How do we paskin, feed or mind? Now, this tshuva is very interesting too, to who it was written. Rav Menashe Klein, and I'll go into more detail, God should spare me, years from now. Some of you know that he was accused of being very much anti-women. If you recall from Borough Park, the whole story with marrying off a 12-year-old girl and not revealing to whom, and causing tremendous atmos nefesh, the father has that power, and now let the mother suffer. So I have to tell you a drop of background, and if you look into his firm, see the introduction, you'll understand what I'm saying. He came out of the Holocaust. God have mercy what people went through. And he married a woman with fine yichus. He had a son. And that son, right after the Brit, she ran away with him. He never saw that son again. They got divorced, and he remarried. That son from the first marriage went on to become a medical doctor, from individual. But what a story. And I can't go further now, but I can only tell you in my own life, this story repeats itself with this very family, with a very dear student of mine, who grew up in my house, a friend of my daughter, going back to New Jersey. She's no longer alive, Nebuch. It's a story worthy of a movie. But Rav Menashe Klein remarried, and from his second marriage already, he had a Chassidish family, one after another. One of them is the Rav of Ungava, the shtibel in Ramat that Eli Wiesel built for him with the prize money he got when he won the Nobel Prize. One is a Rav in Borough Park and the original Ungar Shtibel. A daughter married very big yichus. It was his tremendous pride. Married an Adam Gadol. I'll give you the name, Rabbi Yehuda Ayeleib Alta. The minute you see the name Alta, he was destined to become the Gerer Rebbe. He was the son of, if I'm not mistaken, Reb Simcha Bunim, who was Gerer Rebbe. And he was considered the top lamdan in the family. And here you come to the tragedy of modern-day Israel. That's why you've heard me say many times people demonstrate against computers. I would demonstrate against cars. In my humble opinion, we should outlaw cars. They have killed millions and millions and millions of people. This Adam Gadol was killed by a bus on Malchei Yisrael. Crossing the street, I don't know if the bus was at fault, or he was involved in thinking. People told me he was a gon shebegaonim. He was the son-in-law of Reb Menashe Klein. And this tshuva appears in Chelek Yud Aleph, Siman Tav Chet. Chelek Yud Aleph, Siman Tav Chet. And it's, you cry when you read it, Malat Kvod Chatani Kvni. That's the rabbinic expression. My chatan, who's like a son to me. Harav Hagon V'chulu, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Alta Shlita. And when this volume was published, they put the Shlita in parentheses and Zitzal next to it. And he writes to his son-in-law, he writes to him, I received your question, and what's your question? Ben Eretz Yisrael, Sheshoheh b'chutz laretz, b'acharon shel yom tov, v'yetzlo kvachol, Kivin Shaddai Tolachza, Iyacholim Lechit Palel in Minyan Bibinei Yisrael, Vakulam Yanichu Tfilin, Viyit Palalut Filat Chol, Viyomata Kiyesh Lechistapek. Please tell them to be quiet. Yesh Lechistapek Im Lom Mikrei Zer Zilzel. The Kedushat Yontov for Parhesia. And boy, here you have a loaded question with unbelievable implication for us, halacha l'maisa, and why some Jews are saying thank you to the devil known as Corona. I know in America you call it COVID-19, but here in Israel, it's maledicted under the rubric Corona. Nu, does anyone read my mind what I'm about to say? What was his question? If you're in Chutz Laretz, you're coming back to Israel. I don't know, a whole group went to strengthen the Gerish Stibbel in Borough Park. And they're definitely coming back. Yontif Sheni, they want to make a minion of Chutz Laretz people, and they want to put on tefillin, and they want to daven Chutz Laretz. Are they allowed to do it? Or is this a zilzul in Kedushat Yontif per Parhesia? Do you understand what this question is? Everyone in Borough Park, everyone in Hollywood, everyone in Austin, Texas, everyone in Seattle is walking around yuntiftik, walking around dressed properly, chassidim with their shtreimels, litvakin wearing ties, b'nei Akivaniks visiting from Israel with white shirts. And suddenly, you're making a minion of Chutz La'aretz people who are going back to Israel and live in Israel, and they're going to daven with tefillin and going to daven chol, and they're not going to say musaf, and they're not going to daven halel. Are you allowed? It's an infringement on the whole environment around you. Steve, let me bring it down to Jerusalem. Do you know what goes on here? The great synagogue has gone bankrupt. It's closed down. Do you know why? The great synagogue supported itself on what went on. Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuot, all the people visiting here, Yontif Sheni, tremendous minyanim, people getting aliyahs, $1,000 each guy, thousand nothing, 18,000 chaitzim levin, tzvei mol chai, 36, tzvei mol achsin, 36,000. Wow, and never due to corona, nobody can come, nobody is here, Elal is not flying, everyone has to remain where they are, and no income. Tell me, how do you feel when you're walking by the great synagogue, driving by, you're on your iPad, you're on your phone, you're on your computer, it's chol, and these people are walking here as if it's Yontif. What are you, idiots? Yontif is over. We made Havdalah last night. This is Eretz Yisrael. It's not Borough Park. It's not Teaneck. It's not Beverly Hills. You're in Eretz Yisrael. Do you understand? What a question. Fabulous question. Fascinating question. And I have to tell you, David Twesky, for you it's even more of a question. Do you know why? Because you could be a Hasidic Rebbe. You have the yichus, you have the blood. Nu, tell me, the Tzemach Tzedek, and by the way, the Reb Menachem Klein will quote it, on Yontif Sheni, this Kedusha, the rays of God, are holy in Chutz La'aretz. It's not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the rays of God are chulin. The Tzemach Tzedek explains in his Drish Sefer, you need more intensity, more rays. You need 2 days Yontif. In order to feel the Yontif, you have to have 2 full days because sanctity in the land of Trump and all that goes with it and Biden, very hard to come by Kedusha. 1 day is not enough. You need 2 days. And by the way, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, doesn't he paskin that way? The rays, the halacha, 1 day in Eretz Yisrael, 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, God relates differently to the world. Well, if that's the case, halacha kama v'kama, the Gera Rebbe's son, Reb Menashe Klein's son-in-law, is asking a fabulous question. How can you make a Chutz La'aretz minyan with tefillin? You are spitting in the face of Kedusha, of holiness, of the rays of God, etc. Chutz La'aretz is yontiftik. What a question. What a question. Okay. And Reb Menashe Klein says, Lefi anivetati yafer ha'ata v'ha'emet v'ha'tzedek itecha. And he says that you're absolutely correct. You shouldn't be allowed to do it. It's an infringement upon the public holiness. And he says, and here he mentions, he alludes to the Chacham Tzvi Shita, not only according to Chacham Tzvi. There certainly, in Chutz La'aretz, you have to have 2 days no matter where you're from. But even according to the other Shita, what we paskin like, the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin anything in public has to be yontiftik. Wasn't this the Mishnah Brura? The clothes you wear. If you put on tefillin, the tefillin has to be betzina. It has to be hidden. Halachat kama v'kama to make a minyan and do everything b'parhesia? Absolutely not. And if this is the case, I have to tell you, and to me it's axiomatic. If I'm in Chutz La'aretz and I follow the Shulchan Aruch, even though I come from Israel and I'm going back to Israel, publicly, I have to act like every other Jew. And even with the davening, if I'm davening Yud Chet Brachot, not Sheva, still a hate. No one has to know. In Eretz Yisrael, totally, completely, absolutely forbidden to make a second day minyan b'kolot b'fneiam v'eda, big advertisements, the great synagogue, there's a place in Beit Vagan, I understand, other places, wow, they make a fortune off a minyan, which to me seems halachically, totally, absolutely forbidden. Sure, you have to daven, but you have to daven like everyone else. And even where you're davening, if you follow the Shulchan Aruch Psak, to be you, it's Yontavtik yet, but Sina, not Beprechesia, not Berabim. Jack, I asked you to go to the great synagogue and declare this viewpoint. They will lift you up and very elegantly toss you out. Because, gentlemen, don't forget a simple pasuk, Vahakesef Ya'aneh Et HaKol. Okay, let's be honest. Rakefet, you're a big shot. You're sitting in your office. You get a salary for teaching. Why you support you? You don't have to go schnur. You have students all over the world. Keep your mouth shut. Without this support, this great synagogue cannot survive. Who's right? Who's wrong? Let Klal Yisrael decide. But I have to tell you, it bothers me until today. Erloid Yeshiva has second day minyan. Jack is telling me Erloid, that's the big Hasidus in Katamon, they have a second day minyan to accommodate all that come Aliyah LeRegel to see the Rebbe, and I imagine a lot of support comes in. All right, I can't fight City Hall, but halachically speaking, I'm on very solid ground. Okay, now I want to show you the Menashe Klein, Yomo, do me a favor, give me a cup of water, it's right behind. By the way, I want to thank Morty Tarragon, who set everything up, and I have to tell you, Yomo has saved my life all summer. He handled all the emails, answered the questions, and sits next to me here and gives me peace of mind. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehyeh bedvaro. Okay. Now, I want to introduce you on this very Shulchan Aruch. There's a very big Shari Tshuva. It takes one full page, maybe one of the biggest Shari Tshuva. You know, the Shari Tshuva collected, there's the Pitkei Tshuva, the Shari Tshuva, and Aruch Chaim, he collected all the response literature and summarizes some of the basic questions. And here in the Shari Tshuva, he raises this whole problem. Who is Chutz Laretz? Who is Eretz Yisrael? Who is what? And you see problems people have. And it's what I cited before. Mishalach l'Chutz Laretz. Man went to Chutz Laretz. And he sent for his wife. Join me. She doesn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. And afterwards, she's agreed to send over her dowry, her house furnishings. She'll follow him. But where is she? She's going to join her husband, but now it's Pesach. She's still in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't matter where the husband is. She has not left. She's considered an Eretz Yisrael person. But nevertheless, he throws in Mishum Chumrat Chametz Lo Talchal Chametz B'Yom Chet. Could you imagine that Chametz, the Nisa Karet, the Nisa Dioraita, don't eat it on the eighth day. Once you're ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, even though you are still in, once you're ready to go to Chutz Laretz, even though you're still in Eretz Yisrael, don't eat chametz on the eighth day. So here you see, you have a very interesting question. Someone wants to get smicha. I told you, I would ask a student today who wants to get smicha. I know twins, two brothers. Their father died of corona, Erev Pesach. This happened this year. One brother sat shiva 20 minutes, and one brother sat shiva 7 full days after Pesach. Explain it. Explain it. It's very simple. The person died in Manchester. I think you know the Manchester rabbinate was wiped out. He was one of the Manchester rabbinate. The brother who was in America, Dafkin Tinek, got the news minutes before Pesach. He's not going to the funeral. He sat shiva 20 minutes and the chag began, the end of the shiva. The other brother was in Israel, the twin. He had arranged the funeral. You don't know what he went through. They had to bring in a zinc coffin. It had to be approved. It took days. Finally, the end of Chol HaMoed, they buried the father. His shiva began after Pesach. So I would ask some aspiring rav, how could a person who's in Israel, hasn't left Israel, and eighth day of Pesach, she can do malacha, she's like all other Israelis, but she can't eat chametz. And here you have it. She's going to go to Chutz Laretz, chumra of chametz, don't eat chametz. And the husband who leaves behind the wife in Israel could very well be that his calls man, his wife is in Israel, hasn't joined him, he still has a din of an Israeli. He's not yet in Chutz La'aretz. What about a young man who comes to Israel to study? So here he brings down Shuvat that if he's engaged to a girl in Chutz La'aretz, and he's engaged and he quotes that he swore and promised and made a kinyan that he's not going to marry anyone else, just this girl from Chutz La'aretz, then even though he's come to Israel, he has a din of someone in Chutz La'aretz. And he goes on and on with various questions. What about a person from Chutz La'aretz who comes to Israel, invests in a business here, he's going back to Chutz La'aretz, but the person in Israel is an Israeli? Reb Moshe Bick wrote to Reb Moshe Feinstein, had a similar question like this. Someone in Borough Park who had a partnership with someone in Israel with a business. And Yontif Sheni, he goes back to Chutz La'aretz. Ed Davent mit the Talis Ibrim Cup, Eshtet Ayontif Dik Shmona Esrei, and his partner in Israel has gone to a big fair in Tel Aviv, all types of electronics, and it's for him a day of chol, and they're partners, and he's buying and selling and making money and making profit. And here he tells his friend in America, his partner, I made 50,000 shekel with what I bought and sold. Half of it is yours. And it was all made on Yontif Sheni. So he paskins, look, the person in Israel has a right to do whatever he wants. For him, it's not Yontif Sheni. The fact that he made profit and you share is to your advantage, but there's no Eser involved, and the profit is yours. And he goes on and on with questions. It's fascinating to see all the different questions that came up, and women refusing, men refusing, humans are humans. Some people can be very happy in Israel, and some people, it's an adjustment which not everyone can make. I can tell you halacha l'maisa, bizman hazeh, it is infinitely easier to make the adjustment. And the answer is very simple. We today have community. When I came in Aliyah, it was swim or sink. There were basically no Anglos here. I write about it in Washington. The one Anglo family I went to visit, I knew yet from Bnei Akiva, had I listened to his advice, I wouldn't be Aaron Rakefet. Oh my gosh. Become an Israeli, teach like an Israeli, think like an Israeli. Wow, we Americans changed the world here in Chinuch, but not because we became Israelis, because we brought the best. We were makayim the Gemara at the end of Megillah, Daf Chavtet, that atidim batei kenisiyot shebabavel la'alot atza sheyekbu b'eretz Yisrael. We brought the best of what we developed in the Golah, teaching and outreach and broadness and dedication and understanding and learning and depth and Rav Soloveitchik, Baruch Hashem, we brought the best of Chutz La'aretz here. But today it's a lot easier. You have colonies of Americans. Today you have a problem we never dreamt about. My daughters went to school, and in Chutz La'aretz we spoke Hebrew to them, not English. The minute we came to Israel, we spoke English to them, not Hebrew. But with all the Hebrew we spoke to them, they went to Rothschild. They believed the Rothschild they started, and they came home crying. Could you imagine? They didn't understand much in class. And today in Beit Shemesh, you have a different problem. Kids come there, they don't learn Hebrew. They have to take Bakrut in English. Everyone around them speaks English. Their teachers speak English. Their friends speak English. They never hear a word of Hebrew. We, Baruch Hashem, all right, I can't say I'm a genius. It took me 50 years, but I'm totally at home in Hebrew. I'm not like my great-grandchildren. They're geniuses. A year and a half already, I have great-grandchildren speaking Hebrew so fluently. I can't even follow them. They're so quick. They're so rapid. A year and a half, 2 years old. What a vocabulary. They're geniuses. All right, it took me 50 years. I am Baruch Hashem. I worked. I was in the army so many years. I was in the Mossad so many years. I picked up a little Hebrew. I listened to the radio. I pick up the slang. But today it's infinitely easier, the absorption. We have brought the good of America, the good, underline the word good, to the Israeli scene. And this is a fulfillment of Chazal. It's a fulfillment of the Nevi'im. Atidim batei kenisiyot. Look who's coming. Look at the prophet. What a joy. What an ingathering of exiles. And each of us contributes. But what halacha lemaisa? What do you do? The wife doesn't want to go. The husband does want to go. The wife doesn't want to go chol. The husband doesn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He's engaged. He's not yet married. He's getting married. What point? It is so amorphous. What point are you an Israeli? What point are you a Chutz La'aretz Jew? And he passes la halacha here that he tells his son-in-law, you're absolutely right, and no minyanim should be made on public in Hillcrest if they're going to daven an Eretz Yisrael dika davening where everyone else is davening chol. And this is halacha lemaisa. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, quotes the Sharei Tshuva, quotes many examples, quotes the Pri Chadash, he quotes the Pri Chadash, where the Pri Chadash says that imagine you're in Chutz La'aretz and you're davening B'tzibur and everyone knows you're davening. This is the Pri Chadash, he quotes it. And everyone knows you're davening Yudchet Brachot because it takes you longer to daven than a normal Sheva Brachot Shmona Esra. And you know what he advises the person to do? Speed up your davening and start the Shmona Esrei 10 brachot earlier so that you finish at the same time. Ad kedei kach, their chayshish for interfering with the prachesia, with the public feeling of Yontif. Wow. And finally, as he comes to the end of the tshuva, he says, Shuv ha'idli gam b'shem yedid nafshi hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach shlita b'Yerushalayim Yakodesh shegam kein oma d'lo nichale b'minyanim b'pachesia ka'elu, that even Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, my friend, the great Rav Shlomo Zalman of Yerushalayim, was not happy with Minyanim Elu, with the great synagogue, with Orlai, with Bayit Vagan, wherever they're making a Yontif Sheni Minyan, interfering with the reality of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I need not tell you who Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was. You all know that last week or 2 weeks ago already we lost his son-in-law, Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. Very unique individuals. We don't have it today. They stood within two worlds. They were part of the Haredi world, so-called, part of the Tzioni Dati world. They were totally at home. All that concerned them was the Vah Hashem Zu Halacha, with the heart, the essence of Torah existence. And I'll tell you a little anecdote. B'didi ha'viyuvda. I know it's hard for you to comprehend, to understand what it meant to work in communist Russia. Those of us that were involved, we were never the same again. It's just the reality of life. When you experience what you experience, it's like, to a certain degree, imagine if you were in the Warsaw Ghetto and got out, you're not the same again, you're not the same again. So when the miracle started happening and the return to Torah, so Moscow was a hotbed. And remember, Chabad Lechud and the Balichev Lechud. Chabad was always in Russia. Chabad paid a very heavy price under Stalin. Many Chabadnikim were executed, exiled. After Khrushchev, I think the Russians realized that Chabad are not a threat to them, they're not undermining the country. So they reached the modus vivendi, you live, let live. They even allowed in Moscow, there was the official shul on Akhapova Street, and in a whole different area, there was an illegal old building, it was maybe two stories as I recall, I have pictures of it, where Chabad davened, and then the government let them get away with it. It was not legal, not official, but beyond Chabad, by the late 70s, a tremendous tshuva movement began. Had the Russian government let everyone out when they wanted to leave for Israel, they would have come to Israel, and they would have been no different than, let's take our prime minister Netanyahu. Did he put on tefillin this morning? All right, let the question hang fire. Let's take the assistant prime minister, whatever his title is, Gans, who comes from a Satmar family. Did he put on tefillin this morning? I could be, I don't know, but all right. A walking Kiddush Hashem, religious-wise, he is not. And you can go on and on. The Russian Jews would have come. They would have been like Golda Meir, would have been like Shimon Peres, would have been like Yitzhak Rabin, would have been like Ehud Barak. But they didn't let them out. Once they didn't let them out, the Jew is suffering and he starts asking, why am I a Jew? Why am I suffering? And they opened up Svarim. They went to the Lenin Library where they had access, because many of them were professors at the time and still could use the library, PhDs, etc. And they found Svarim translated into Russian, and suddenly they start discovering what Judaism is about, what it means to be a Jew, Am Levadad Yishkon, Ben Goyim Lo Yishkashev, etc., etc. So the tshuva movement began, and that's where the Mossad came to a guy named Rakefet, because they needed someone to teach Gemara in Moscow. So, all right, we get involved, and you meet these people, and it's overwhelming, and then soon there's a trickle being let out. And I had this chut, my very close friend, Svi Groner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Dr. Professor Tzvi Grona, lived in Sharei Chesed. So I would visit him, he would visit us, we were very, very close, and he briefed me on my first trip to Russia. And one time Tzvi and I are walking towards the Grosh Dibble to Davin Mincharan on Yontif, and we're walking with a very famous Russian who had just gotten out, one of the heads of the Tshuva movement in Moscow, Mikhail Karaivanov, and a few others. And he later gets a PhD from Weizmann here. These aren't simple people. And there's Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach walking down the street. And to these people, to see Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach in person, it was like my grandchildren. I think I told you when at the wedding they meet a wedding of a friend, that my daughter was the legal custodian. Her mother was killed, and his mother was killed in a bomb in the bus. And to meet Rav Adin Steinsaltz, or like a kid when I first met the Rav, what it meant to me. And I was overwhelmed. Because, you know, we took Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach for granted. We saw him all the time. Whenever I davened, there was a famous minyan in the Grah at 6:30 Shabbos morning. It was called the minyan of the Rabbanim. I mean, there he was. And they met him. And they went over to him. And they told him they had just come from Russia. And they wanted him to know that his Sfarim are in Russia. They were smuggled in by tourists, and even already in Moscow, they had some of Rav Shlomo Zalman's Sfarim. And he was so simple that he couldn't even appreciate what they're saying to him. All right, his Sfarim, whatever, it's not what's so important, what does it mean? But what a moment in time. And this is the Mishnah Halachat, where he says that Rav Shlomo Zalman Amar, the Lo Nichalei B'Minyanim B'Pechesia Ke'elu. And that decides it all. Once Rav Shlomo Zalman has spoken, you don't ask questions after the Kohanim have done the Avoda on the Mizbeach. All right, let us go a drop further. The next question, Tuf Tet, Siman Tav Tet, Chelek Yud Aleph, one, the next question. And what's the question? He doesn't have a year here, but it's interesting, it's to Harav David Ackerman from Yerushalayim. To me, Ackerman is a famous name, because my eldest son-in-law is Danny Ackerman. So I look at Ackerman, I wonder if it's any relation. And what's the question? He's asking him, a ben chutz la'aretz shelamad b'yeshiva b'eretz Yisrael v'hu b'daito l'hishtakeya sham v'yakate einu muchlat etzlo ela hu kub mesupat b'davar. What a fabulous question. I've had this question 1,000 times over. And it's the typical story. Kids, Baruch Hashem, when BMT began, 69, I'm the sole surviving member of the original faculty, and I got to tell you, we had 10 students we began with, not all are alive either. Time marches on. If someone would have told me, Aaron, what you're doing here is going to change the Torah world. 10 kids coming from Chutz Laretz, Torah is being exported to the Anglo world, ultimately, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of kids have come to Israel, have tasted of Torah, and Baruch Hashem, have gone mechayel el chayel. So now you have these kids here. Kid comes to the kollel. All right, I don't want to deal with it. Could be a BMT, he's a little young, but no, you have the same thing in Torah Tshraga. The kid doesn't want to go back. The kid wants to stay. The kid has definitely made up his mind. I'm here. Eretz Yisrael. But he's a kid. He's not his own boss. What are you paskin? His parents are yelling, screaming, finish school. get a degree. I know with girls, parents yell and scream, you want to go in Aliyah? You have to get married. All right, makes sense. They want to stay 1 year, 2 years. All right, we have a lot of kids, I have to say, went on from BMT, went on from Torah Shraga, did army. All right, once a kid does army, he's part and parcel of the Israeli scene. But when do you become an Israeli? What are you paskin for a kid like this? So I have to tell you that Reb Menashe Klein is very honest. He says immediately in the tshuva, this is the most difficult question to paskin. How do you judge a kid? He's young. His life is before him. And yet, but he's a kid. He's 20, 21. He's talui bidei acherim. He has parents. He wants to get married. How do you paskin? How do you paskin? And he tells the story here very briefly of Rav Shmuel Salant. Rav Shmuel Salant, as you all know, was the Rav HaRashi of Yerushalayim for endless years. He was Zochel Arichat Yomim Tovim. The truth of the matter is that they brought over twice great Rabbanim to succeed him, and they all predeceased him. Rav Chaim Berlin was brought over after the Lashon closed. Rav Chaim Berlin to succeed Rav Shmuel Salant. He died before. Then they brought over the Aderet, Rav Kook's father-in-law, the original Shidduch, the Aderet, Rabinovitz Taomim, related, by the way, to Rav Pinchas Mordechai Teitz. Those of you who know Rav Teitz, Zichron Levracha. So he predeceased him, and Rav Salant was a posek mufak, even when he was blind, he knew everything by heart, posek mufak. So he had the shita that single kids have a din of Eretz Yisrael, because everyone in Israel was running after these kids, get married. Our daughters, kid from Chutz Laretz, must have a little money, the family. Everyone was anxious to marry off their daughters to these young men. And Reb Shmuel Salant passed from the halacha that they had a din of Eretz Yisrael, period. But he also mentions V'lo holdu lo chaverav. His friends, the other Rabbanim, big machlokes, didn't agree with Rav Shmuel Salant. And it was a big machlokes, and this was Rav Shmuel Salant's famous psak. How can I describe it? In popular language, they call it a day and a half. To call it a day and a half is not a real description, because a person may believe, yeah, you observe the first day Yontif, and second day you observe at night. Sunrise, 6 o'clock in the morning, it's no longer Yontif. It doesn't mean that. A more apt description would be Yontif Sheni Lechumra. And this is Rav Shmuel Salant's psak, meaning, you all know this psak, on Yontif Sheni you don't do malacha. You act like an Israeli, you daven like an Israeli, you make kiddush like an Israeli, everything is like an Israeli, but you don't do malacha. And that's Yontif Sheni Lechumra. This then boiled down to the famous question, and again, this is all written up. Reb Shmuel Salant, Reb Chimuchel Tukachinsky, I believe it's a son-in-law to Reb Shmuel Salant, but he was also wrote a great deal on Minigat Yisrael. He writes it up word by word. How do you make a Seder? How do you make a Seder? So the truth of the matter is, you can make a perfect Seder L'chumra. What does it mean? You sit down, Leil HaSeder, you have to make Havdalah like the Israelis. first cup of wine. You then read the Haggadah. What's wrong with reading the Haggadah? Brachat einu ma'akvat. You read the Haggadah. Then you have a second cup of wine. Fine. Then you wash, you make a motzi, and brachat einu ma'akvat. You have matzah, you have morah, you can have a sandwich, a korach. You yotzei everything. Ah, you didn't make brachat? Brachat einan ma'akvat. Okay? Then, a third cup of wine you bench, and then you can say, Pirkei Hallel. What's wrong? No problem. Tehillim. And you drink a fourth cup of wine. So I've had a perfect Seder. I've been Mekayim Matzah, Mora, Dalet Kalsot, Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, and I never made one bracha that's a suffix levatala. This was the famous psak of Reb Shmuel Salant. I have to tell you, I plead guilty. Maybe 99,000 times I paskin this way. For kids who were, you know, dreaming were going to come back, I didn't want to slap their faces, machlokes hapaiskim, make the Seder like this, yontif sheni l'chumra. And I have to tell you, in 1978, I spent an entire weekend with the Rav, with Mori Rebbe. And again, I apologize, but when I was a kid, meeting the Rav for the first time in 57, how much did I know how to learn? 78, I knew a little bit. Today, if I could spend a Shabbos with the Rav, oh boy, would that be a Shabbos. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. But what can you do? That's life. It's an open Gemara in Sanhedrin. How much they wanted to give over, but you're limited, the Rebbe, Talmud, the age, the time. But in 79, I had to learn a little. So one of the problems I discussed with the Rav in detail is Yontif Sheni. This is why when someone, you know, I paskin what I paskin, what I heard from the Rav with these ears, I don't play games. I heard this Mimori Rebbe. So I said to the Rav, Rebbe, if we're so certain the Chacham Tzvi is right, and Rav Chaim said, Rav Chaim Briska, ich hab noch nicht gefunden, eine, was hat verämpft der Chacham Tzvi. I didn't find anyone who answered the Chacham Tzvi's questions. He's absolutely right. So why do we paskin for the boys, the girls, tlachat chila bere yontif sheni l'chumra, day and a half? So the Rav and I discussed and we reached two conclusions. One conclusion is the obvious one, Kavod HaShulchan Aruch. Very hard to go against the Shulchan Aruch. Remember, I gave endless lectures on this, Kuntres HaShach, Resh Mem Bet, Yerodeya. Very hard to go against the Shulchan Aruch. So when people ask you, they're here in Israel, but they're going back, all right, day and a half l'chumra, it's the best psak. You're not offending the Shulchan Aruch, and you're not offending the more logical psak of so many achronim. That's one reason. The second reason was very simple. Sometimes, you know, a young person can't understand all this. There used to be an expression when I was growing up, the proverbial Beis Yaakov girl. I don't want to use that expression today because there's some Batei Yaakov where they study on a very high level. But we used to say, oh, she's a Beis Yaakov girl, meaning there's frumkeit, but they really don't have the depth of learning. So, you see, when you paskin for a student, Yontif Sheni, you don't have to observe the full Yontif Sheni. They really don't know what you're saying. They can go back to America and also be mezalzel and Yontif Sheni. No, who can tell me a story, whether I'm right or wrong on this? Rabbi Przanski, do you recall a certain community named Staten Island, where a Rav came in who had been in Israel, and the regular rabbi was on sabbatical, and this rabbi paskened certain things on Yontif Sheni, Lakula, 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 and wow, La Yehudim Haita, O Rava Simcha. And this is exactly what Mori Rebbe and your humble servant reached the conclusion. Better to explain to them, even though you're really in Israel, and even though Yontif Sheni doesn't exist here, but nevertheless, Lachumra, be makpid. Don't do malacha. All right, let me end off and let me be realistic. Let me be realistic. Oh, my dear students, I walked in to this little office of mine, 82 years of age, going on 83. Rabbi Langer and Professor Tarragon, I have to tell you, at this moment, I am exactly 28 years of age. 10 years younger than Yomo, who's asleep next to me. So I want to thank you very much. But Yontif Sheni, these shilas, these questions, wow. Where do you draw the line? And this is what the Mishnah Halacha says. Can't paskin for you. You have to be very close to the person. You have to listen and try to understand him. And he says it so beautifully. He says, a human being, today he says one thing, tomorrow he says another thing. And this is why he says, we can't reach a definitive conclusion on a question like this about a single person in Eretz Yisrael. But Baruch Hashem, Yontif Sheni L'Chumra, it's a bit of a solution. That's what I fell back on during the many years that I had these Sheilot from college students. So to reiterate, we've just started. Next week I'm going to, you think the topic Yontif Sheni, you know it all? Some new material has just appeared, and I have a comment Bal Peh that adds to the new material. And then we go further. Orech Chaim, Rav Menashe Klein, Yontif Dik of Problems. So what did we do today? Okay, I hope I introduced the class as best I could. I don't want to spend more time. And again, I make the comment, if there's anyone listening from the Kollel, I don't know how many are here and everyone's in isolation, please see to it that Sherry knows you're taking the class, because there's no way I can meet you in the classroom setting and learn who you are, etc. But if someone says they're listening, Chazakar on an Erev Rav, not an Erev Rav, but an Erev Rav, that if he's listening, he's entitled to credit. And this is Yontif Sheni. It's a problem that is amorphous, a problem that is fluid, a problem where you can't draw solid black and white lines. This is Rav Menashe Klein dealing with Minyan B'Parhesia in Chutz Laretz, which reflects upon Minyan B'Parhesia in Eretz Yisrael, and the whole question of a younger man, a single boy, a single girl, coming to Eretz Yisrael. We'll pick up a drop more on this question and go further, Be'ezrat HaMatein Liyov Kolod, next week. Now, coming attractions tomorrow, if possible, Yomo and I are going to work earlier, if I can only teach for my classroom, because here I see I have a real problem. There are three active offices right next to me, and I can't tell everyone to stop speaking. It was quite difficult for me at certain points when there are other voices in the background. So tomorrow either we'll continue from here or pick up from the classroom. Tomorrow we pick up exactly where we left off. RCA is on the map. RCA has established itself. Agudas HaRabbanim is a rival, but RCA exists. Kashrut, fabulous. OU changes the world of Kashrut, the greatest achievement of the OU. One tremendous fashla, and that, of course, is Bartons and Barasini. And everyone sent me the article that I actually quoted in class from the Atlantic magazine about this machleket. It's a machleket that leaves an echo because somehow we bowed to money, and to be a great Torah Jew, you have to rise above bowing to money. It's a challenge. It's not so simple. But we pick up tomorrow, post-World War II, and all that that implies. So, Be'ezrat HaNotein LeYov Koach, we'll meet again tomorrow, I hope, in better health, better happiness, better news, and it should be L'Kavod L'Tiferet, Das V'Danya. Now, Morty, you want to open... Okay. Are there any questions? No. Leave it record. Yomo, are there any questions? How does it work now? Morty, okay, are there anyone have questions? Jack? Yeah, go ahead. I just told you something that the world doesn't know. I don't want to elaborate too much, but you'll see when it comes to Dinei Yishut, there is a certain enmity, and I just explained it to you. He has every right to have a negative attitude towards the feminine mystique. What he suffered, what my... Oh, what would you think, Shani? Well, Reb Menashe Klein certainly was a closet Zionist. You understand that expression? Yeah, it's terrible. She ran away with the kid. With my Talmidah. With my Talmidah, Jack, you know the story. His son married my Talmidah and did exactly to my student what his mother did to Reb Menashe Klein. And we went to Reb Menashe Klein pleading for help. You have no idea what went on, what this girl went through. Later, a miracle happened, and someone named Menachem, and it was named Menachem, hadn't found himself yet. He married her, and together they found each other and went on. But the Eibishter the lustner, she died young. Don't ask the Atmos Nefesh for me and my wife personally. So he had a very open attitude towards Eretz Yisrael. And you see it here. He understood that people... You'll see next week what I quote from him. Well, what do you want him to do? Smack the face of the Shulchan Aruch? Look how I'm suffering. Look how the Rav was suffering. The Shulchan Aruch is the Shulchan Aruch. All right, Rav Chaim, ich hab gefragt mein Tata. I can tell you the exact words of the Rav when I visited Eretz Yisrael in 1935, right? So ich hab gefragt mein Tata, was soll ich tun, Yontif Sheni? Now, Yontif Sheni that year fell Friday Shabbos, Shavuot. So it was a question of davening. And my tata hat mir gesagt, in Namen von Reb Chaim, als der Chacham Zvi ist gerecht. Ich habe nicht gefunden, eine, was verlämpfen, die Scheile ist auf der Chacham Zvi. And the Scheile von der Chacham Zvi hat gefragt. And my father told me, you daven like an Israeli. But come on, we're smacking the face of the Shulchan Aruch. Do I teach that? That's the old question. Do you teach that to a 7-year-old kid? I have great-grandchildren already, a lot older than 7. They start learning. What do you do? It's such a delicate question. But what can I do? Halacha is halacha, and the shach is the shach, and we have a right to differ. I'll quote the Rav. I won't say, and he's paraphrasing, I don't know if he realized that he's paraphrasing the shach. I won't say you can paskin against the shuchar, but you better know full well what you are paskining and why. And that's exactly it. So listen, Reb Menashe Klein, everyone had life experiences. He went through Hitler, you understand. He went through the camps. There was a bond between him and Elie Wiesel. Of course, this affects his thinking. He was close-minded and open-minded at the same time. Follow, you see time and again in his tshuva, you see where he's coming from, where he's living, what life is about, and he was an Adam Gadol, he's learning. And again, if we come back to the way we began an hour and 40 minutes ago, the Haredi world, the Litvisha world, has a terrible problem. They can't handle anyone that's a little bit different. You follow? Menashe Klein, if you go to Lakewood years ago, they used to say not Mishnah Halachot, but Mishana Halachot. They can't handle it. He was different. Lakewood today may be a little different. I'll tell you why. Lakewood today is very large. You're talking, I mean, before Corona, who knows what's going to be left of the world when this is all over. There are changes that are happening that are very basic. When's the last time you were downtown Jerusalem? Every second store is locked up, is up for rent. People are no longer shopping. Everything is online. Office buildings are not going to be needed. You're working from your computer. God knows what the world is going to look like when this is all over. Who knows if the Rebbeim will have a job. They'll record that, here you have 2,000 shirim for firing rakefet. You don't need to pay anyone. Fire rakefet, just throw a shirim. So give him crumbs. Give him a dollar for each time you show his shir. What I call this, royalties. Tagmulim be written do better. Who knows how the world is going to change. But anyway, I just want to tell you about Lakewood. Lakewood today was 9,000 students, or 6,000 students in 9 different Batei Medrashim. So a summer ago, they honored the name Harav Aaron Rakefet. And really, I wish it would have been recorded, that event with Rav Aaron Kotler. It was really something. And what happened, it was a moment in time in my life with Ukraine, and what happened is beyond description. Now, why? I'll tell you why. I figured out why. Because when you have 6,000 students, not everyone buys the party line. So there are some, they listen to Rakefet, they don't throw away Yiddishkeit. They understand, they get a little broader. We might touch upon it tomorrow when I react to some criticisms that I want to react to, if not tomorrow, next week, whatever. It's opened a little bit. But by and large, with Rav Menashe Klein, with Rav Adin Steinsaltz, they have a problem. And it's a shame, because take everyone, look at Chazal, look at the Midrashim, Baruch Hashem, Devar Hashem, Zu Halacha. It's a very delicate question. What's more important than Yahadut? Theodicy or Halacha Lamaisa? Theology or Halacha Lamaisa? It's a very interesting question. Do we command belief or do we command observance? Which is more important? Toch Shalolishma, Balishma. It's very interesting. All right. Anyway, that's Rav Adin Steinsaltz. I have a very strong personal connection, because his only daughter, Esti, was a very close friend of my youngest daughter, Rania. They were classmates in Chorev. So they're in touch until today. And many Steinsaltz, that's one of his, he has 2 sons, lived in my building for a number of years. He left 3 wonderful children. And imagine a man in the limelight, a man being criticized, Rav Shach, what went on, Apikorsis, and all 3 children are Yireyim v'Shleimim, all 3. So Baruch Hashem, all the credit in the world. All right, is there any other question? No, well, the Rav had a problem with Hallel, Kol HaMarber HaRev, you know, it's HaMacharef U'Magadef. But you could say, I don't think you would have a problem with saying the Pirkei Hallel, the Torah, Tehillim, without a bracha. I don't see a problem. I don't know. It has to be. But anyway, that's the way we paskin here, that they can say the Hallel and Baruch Hashem. No, Baruch Hashem, he was upset on one level that his dream was this would be a kollel with a combination of Reitz and Bernard Revel and do research on a high level. That was not achieved. But all right, Baruch Hashem, Mark Wiener, the last one, I got to get home and my family has to see that I'm alive and kicking. Yeah. Mark, I can't hear you. Morty, why can't we hear Mark? Turn on your audio, Mark. Mark, yeah. All right, he just waves. We can't get anywhere. All right, in 3 minutes then, thank Yomo, thank Morit. Yeah. There was you, there was Norman Amsel, there was Gil Mark, Zichrona Levracha, and Shragi Gross. There was not a fifth. I always say a fifth. You guys gave me a gift. I have to check. You all signed it if it's 4 or 5. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't want to talk about that, okay? Kvot Hashem. Well, all right, if you mentioned it already, let me explain. What Mark is referring to is that on the original faculty of Grus was Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. Twice a week, the boys went to him to Yoredeya, right? He taught you Yoredeya. Now, when Rabbi Lamb found out what was happening, he was very upset. Why? Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg is caught between two worlds. He didn't want to come into this building on a regular basis for fear the right wing would go crazy with Pasquales against him, that he entered the home of Yeshiva University, Avi Avi Avot HaTuma, Apikursis, all that goes with Yeshiva University, etc. Read Rothkopf's book on Revel, what went on in Revel's time, and you can understand. So Rabbi Lamb found out, and he wouldn't let it continue. Either you teach here, but you're not going to have the boys go to a Rebbe who's afraid to come into the building. So anyway, that year he taught. He didn't teach afterwards. That was the end. It was Nisayon Shelo Hitzliach B'Yivrit Meduberet. You got it, Mark? That's the history. Okay? Right, I know. But he wouldn't come into the building. And then Rabbi Lamb insisted. All right, then it's a whole story. Who taught afterwards and who taught afterwards. If I go into the whole story of Yoredeya, until Rabbi Bednish came along, we have had some difficulties here. All right, gentlemen, I want to thank you very... Rav Gershon, I don't know, but he's Baruch Hashem alive and kicking. His daughter works for the radio. She arranges Hasidic music. But you're mentioning a name, you know, out of... we taught together for so many years. He was a direct descendant of the Talmud Mufak of the Baal Shem Tov. Morty, one second. So you have it recorded. You know what you call today? Call it Yontif Sheni. Public Minyanim on Yontif Sheni. or public minyanim that contradict the spirit of Yom Tov Sheni. And he supposedly around. Yom, was he around?
No, Eli hasn't arrived yet, but I could put it on.
Yeah, Yom can put it up.
I have it on a recorder, so I could.
Okay. But he, his biggest yichus was he was a Gvekeshin Kitzis of the who he's named for. He was a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov's Talmud Mefak. And Morty, you're handling tomorrow. Okay, so okay. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya. Okay, so that you turn the door. This will turn.